you know, when I originally had the preview for tonight's show, I had for tonight's Raw, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I got to be honest with you. I couldn't find anything really bad tonight, and it certainly wasn't anything ugly. And a few interesting storyline developments have gone on tonight. And yes, for those that did not see Raw, that is an actual moment during Raw tonight. The Miz against Dexter Lumis and actually, putting a clamp. Vice City, everyone. Dexter Lumis prevailing, as we all expected. And he is a friendly person. He needs the money. And he decided to give some away to the children. Fun episode of Raw tonight. Welcome, everyone. This is your post-Raw show. I am Don Tony. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving evening, weekend, day, Survivor Series, Rampage. You know, I was up here yesterday. We did a double show, a little sit-down, a little Survivor Series review. And, we'll elaborate a little bit further on what we talked about yesterday as I coined it. Dead man oozing, everyone. Look at the eyes. Look at the eyes. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk a little bit about Ronda Rousey tweeting and deleting a tweet directed towards Sasha Banks, or I should say the Sasha Banks chance at Survivor Series. And speaking of Sasha Banks, I just want to throw this out there right at the beginning. Do not fall for the clickbait that is floating around already, that is going to float around all over YouTube, that Sasha Banks appeared during Raw tonight. Those that want to know the deal, if you did not see Raw, we all are aware that Nikki Bella is hosting a new TV show coming to the USA Network called Barmageddon. And Sasha Banks actually will be on that show. Now, I will clear up a little controversy that some people are trying to stir up regarding her appearance and the fact that she was called Sasha Banks and not Mercedes Vernado. All right, let me just give you this info that probably no one else is going to give you right now. Once they find someone who does the research for them, they'll figure it out. Her appearance on Barmageddon was recorded a while ago. This was right in the early stages of everything that was going on. In fact, some of you may remember, wasn't it some Nickelodeon awards that Nikki Bella and Sasha Banks appeared at? And if you look at some of the photos back then, the hair color, the style, everything matches up. So this was way earlier in the controversy. So, you know, don't read anything into it like, oh, my God, they called her Sasha instead of Mercedes. She's coming back. We know she's coming back. We know she's coming back. You know, the discussion that we have had so many times over the last 6 months, it's going to pan out. You know, her conversation with Triple H, we were not there. None of us were there. No reporters were there. No news sites were there. No podcasters were there. You know, we're going based on instinct, to be honest, and also little, you know, incidentals of what you see, you know, where they appear, how they appear, and other things going on. And I'm sticking with what we've said all along. Triple H told Sasha and Naomi, more than likely, take the rest of 2022 off, do what you want to do, fulfill those bucket lists, you know, clear your head, have a good time, you know, just enjoy yourself. And then you come back, brand new year, fresh new start. It's happening. If it wasn't going to happen, don't you think by now WWE would have removed their profiles off of WWE.com? Don't you think by now that WWE would have wanted the pleasure to say, you know, that they were released? You know, we wish them the best on their future endeavors. You know, oh, well, because Triple H is now in head of creative. That, no, they wouldn't dare say anything like that. Come on. This is big business here. This is not about, you know, being politically correct or not. There are so many obvious things there. You know, they're coming back. That's the end of it. But there's no controversy about her using Sasha Banks on Barmageddon. I just wanted to throw that out there. Also, look, I know we always plug this, but I definitely want to give you a little heads up on something, because some of you definitely in the past have taken advantage of, you know, the Don Tony discount code for manscaped.com, free shipping. You know, I want to let everyone know right now they're doing a Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. I mean, I don't know what cyber, you know, electronics have to do with it, but they have 25% off of everything in the store right now. And if you are thinking about picking up something from Manscaped, whether it's for yourself or for a loved one, a friend, coworker, you might want to hop on over to them ASAP, because not only will you get the Black Friday deal, you use the Don Tony discount code and you get an additional 20% off and free shipping. So we'll do a little bit more official plug a little bit later, but I wanted to throw that out there for those that, you know, really could use, you know, the extra discount. And speaking of discounts, I want to throw this one out there too. And shout out to Darth Malice for giving me this information. You remember last week we talked about Peacock doing a Black Friday deal? If you want to subscribe to Peacock for a year, you could get it for 99 cents a month, which gives you all the WWE premium live events. I mean, look, you get WrestleMania for 99 cents. Think about it. Just let that sink in. You know, you spend $60 on an AEW pay-per-view, you could probably get Peacock, you know, for 5 years and still pay less. You know, and I told you last week how you could do that year after year. But he brought to my attention something else that I think some of you would want to know. If you are a subscriber to Spectrum Cable, take a look at this. You could get Peacock Premium for free for an entire year. I make nothing about out of this. I'm just sharing this. Because if I could help some of you out there get a little break, get a little discount, even when we plug the watch parties, I already gave everyone instructions, especially if you live overseas, how can you can watch, you know, the watch parties, even if you don't have, you know, a United States cable subscription, you could join us, you know. So any way I can help you all, you know, I figured I'd let you know about this. So yeah, so go check that out. You know, if you're watching video, you could pause it, look at the screen, but go to Peacock and sign up, and your Spectrum subscriber, you could get it for free. All right. Now, we had a few things go down on Raw tonight. You know, Elias, Matt Riddle, they're going to get a tag team title shot next week against the Usos, because we don't really have any hardcore deep tag teams that are in line to feud with the Usos right at this very moment. When does Elias turn on Matt Riddle? You know, maybe more towards the Royal Rumble, maybe sooner. A lot of people don't realize that the next premium live event is the Royal Rumble. We have no premium live event for December, you know, formerly known as pay-per-views. So the road to the Royal Rumble is already going to go in motion. And there's a few interesting little tidbits. Now, if you saw my early synopsis for tonight's show. And by the way, we're going to run about an hour. You know, I want to keep the topics really, you know, like on point and no long rambling and shit like that. But, you know, if you saw my early synopsis, we were talking about who Bianca Belair's next challenger going to be for the women's championship. And we got a little seed planting tonight. And it's going to be interesting to see. Now, for those that didn't see Raw tonight, I want to show you what went down with Alexa Bliss. And I also want to add a little tidbit to this storyline, because a lot of people are immediately thinking that Alexa Bliss is going to realign with Bray Wyatt. It's not that cut and dry, and I will show you why. Now, towards the end of Raw tonight, we had a backstage interview with Kathy Kelly, along with Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair, and Asuka. And Bianca Belair is talking about their victory at Survivor Series, talking about her choice to her decision to call Becky Lynch to be part of the team. And while Alexa Bliss is smiling and listening to Bianca Belair talk, in the background, the Raw Titantron turns to the moth. The Bray Wyatt moth for a split second. Now it goes back to the Raw logo, but moments later, you have Alexa Bliss with a very stoic look on her face. She did not see the logo, all right? And then when Kathy Kelly tried to interview Alexa Bliss about what Bianca just said about her victory and Asuka giving her thoughts, Alexa Bliss basically was just in a daze. Alexa, you have any comments? Hello, wake up. And Alexa's like, oh, yeah, I agree with what Bianca said. She was in cloud nine. Now, what is about that logo flashing? Is that Bray Wyatt trying to get in her head? No, 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 no. If you follow the storyline, if you follow what we talked about for a couple of months now, Uncle Howdy versus Uncle Harper, which will eventually develop. Bray Wyatt, what you're seeing on the screen with Uncle Howdy is Bray Wyatt's mind. Bray Wyatt is feuding with himself right now. His inner demons are on display for us to watch. So Uncle Howdy is trying to fuck with Bray Wyatt's former compadre in Alexa Bliss. So Uncle Howdy is trying to get into the head of Alexa Bliss to turn her evil. I like it. I like it. And Alexa Bliss could very well end up being Bianca Belair's opponent at Royal Rumble. And look, nobody in their right mind expects Alexa Bliss to win the Royal Rumble. So her getting a, you know, I don't want to say a throwaway match with Bianca Belair because, you know, I don't look at it like that. But you're now going to see the seeds planted where Alexa Bliss, you know, she's likely going to turn on Bianca Belair. And that will lead to the next match. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. But a nice, interesting twist tonight for Alexa Bliss. You know, because look, you look at Alexa Bliss's in-ring work. What's the one thing that I always complain about? I appreciate and I am very jealous of her athleticism. I could never do any of that stuff. The only time I show athleticism is where I almost fall off my bed. And then you'll see me try to do everything possible to like grab onto the bed so I don't fall. You know, like, she is great, but she uses too many acrobatic moves when she's a babyface. When she does that flip onto a, you know, the person laid out in the ring, she usually lands like partly on her feet and she doesn't even touch the person. By her being a heel, she will be more ground game. She will not do a lot of the gymnastic moves. So heel Alexa Bliss, more of a character, getting in the head of Bianca Belair, I'm for it. I'm for it. Listen, a lot of people need to realize not everybody is going to have a four-star match. Not every female on the women's roster is going to knock it out of the park. You know, I see all the shit today with Ronda Rousey. And look, I understand why people are complaining. You know, absolutely. But, you know, I also, you know, without getting too controversial with it, you know, the one move everybody is talking about is Shotzi trying to do that DDT off the top rope, you know, the side of the, you know, top rope in the ring. And Ronda Rousey basically held on to the ring and it looked like a bad botch. You know, I'm not trying to criticize Shotzi Blackheart for that move and I'm not trying to defend Ronda Rousey. But if you look at all the people that are doing the research and showing all the times that Shotzi did do that move in the past, look at who she did it against. She did it against established women who have been doing this for years and years and years that trained to become professional wrestlers, you know, who are regulars in this business. Ronda Rousey is still an MMA person with that mindset, and she doesn't have enough matches to garner that experience. So Ronda Rousey, that might not be the person you want to do that move with, unless maybe you went over it before Survivor Series and did it a few times and make sure that not only can she take the move, but she's comfortable with the move. You know, I'm not, again, I'm not trying to defend Ronda Rousey, but you got to look at it on both sides. You know, Shotzi is trying to do that move against someone who technically is a part-time wrestler, a former MMA person. You know, I know it's catchy. You know, people want to trend. People want to be part of a movement. People want to be. I get it, but you also got to use a little bit of common sense as well. You know, but so that's what I say about Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is not going to give us a 4-star performance, and that's perfectly fine because we have characters in pro wrestling. You know, you look at some of the storylines that we have loved over the years. Not everybody is a high-flying, unbelievable, amazing person in the ring. You know, there's room for everything. You know, of course, we don't want people to stink up the joint. But Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair looks like it could be happening. Also, tonight we had the return of the Street Profits. The Street Profits defeated Alpha Academy once again. What everyone is like husband, like wife. What everybody was talking about tonight was Montez Ford body slamming. That is freaking impressive, everyone. He picked up Otis and he held him. That is impressive. But I had to do a little research because I do remember Bianca Belair doing something. Anybody remember this with Otis? You know, not too bad. With the feet of strength. So props to Montez Ford. Props to Bianca Belair. Yeah, Montez Ford is awesome. Man, you know, we had that conversation yesterday, you know, during the Survivor Series review. In hindsight, you know, it's amazing how many of us thought they were getting the belts at SummerSlam, and they didn't. And we were kind of confused by it. Their build to SummerSlam was probably one of the, put it this way, in the last 20 years, and I know for some of you out there, it may sound ridiculous, but if you do the research, you'll agree with me on this. Over the last 20 years, the Street Profits have to be in the top 10 of the strongest, you know, most influential, substantial builds to a pay-per-view title match and lose. And not only lose, but kind of drift away completely. I mean, you think about their feud with the Usos leading into SummerSlam and the build and the vignettes and their intro and everything about it. Everything felt like the stars aligned. The Street Profits are finally going to get that tag title win and a substantial one against the Usos, and it did not happen. And now you look at it in hindsight with the Usos making history, longest reigning tag team champ, and you look back and you say, yeah, you know what? That was the right call by WWE. So, you know, this is why undisputed titles really need to come to an end at WrestleMania. It has to, you know, because look at some of the tag teams that, you know, are passing by and don't get a title opportunity because the Usos have both, because Roman Reigns have both. You know, we've had an impressive run during COVID for quite a bit of it. Yes, we still have COVID. Let's not deny that. But now it's time where you have to have, you know, people to be able to get an opportunity. You know, with Roman holding both belts and the Usos holding both belts, the United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championship is not enough. It's not enough. Because in the eyes of wrestling fans, that heavyweight title is what's most important for an individual wrestler. And for tag teams, having a tag team championship is most important. So we'll see what happens. All right. So as we said earlier, The Miz took on Dexter Lumis. A lot of comedy involved. You know, he had, what was that, like a Gucci bag? He had it filled with money. Miz tried to get out of the match, claiming that his left hand was broken. Adam Pearce was having none out of it. They had the match, and yes, during the match, The Miz tried to squeeze. Do not try that at home, everyone. Believe me. Believe me, I'm not going to lie. I looked in my toolbox to see if I had a vice, and I was going to see how many times I could crank it before it hurts too much. But something tells me that would probably go disastrously wrong very quickly. But I could not find one. I found wrenches. I found pliers, but I could not find a vice grip. But they brawled. It was an anything-goes match. They brawled to the back. You know, threw Miz into a TV. They used tables. Fans got into it. I think in the beginning of the match, you know, Dexter Lumis, a little bit too much comedy with The Miz, but I like what I saw. And, you know, you think about Dexter Lumis in NXT, anybody that's a long time you know, viewer or listener of my shows, you know, for a very long time, I said, and people doubt me, I'll put up clips next week, Dexter Lumis was my favorite wrestler in NXT. And you go back and you look at his NXT run, he lost almost every match. You know, did it feel like he was being buried? No, but it felt like WWE was just treating him like a clown, like a comedy act. You know, the Indy Hartwell stuff, it ended up being really entertaining. The stuff with The Way was very entertaining. But in the end, you know, that motherfucker, I'm not going to compare him to The Undertaker, but that motherfucker is got an aura about him that you don't clown him out and lose over and over and over again. You know, so him getting the win the way he did today, you know, putting The Miz in the Anaconda Vice, you know, was cool. He signs the contract, gets the bag of money, and what was a cool moment is he goes around ringside and he's giving kids $100 bills. And of course, The Miz, I felt bad for the other kids. You know, that it gets into a sticky situation because Dexter Lumis looked at some of the kids, and Dexter is probably saying to himself, no, I can't give everybody, you know. He was only giving it to kids, which was cool. But he obviously passed up a couple of kids at ringside. Miz attacks Lumis, grabs the bag, takes a $100 bill away from a kid. And I immediately thought about the time with Cody. Remember when Cody gave the belt to a kid and Seth pulled it back? And they gave the belt back to the kid. But Johnny Gargano comes out, super kicks Miz. Kid gets the money back. And Dexter Lumis now part of the Raw roster. So, you know, I liked it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm glad this fucking storyline is over. You want to go Miz against Gargano now for a little bit? Fine. You want to have Gargano and Dexter Lumis team up? Fine. You know, unfortunately, R-Truth, him recovering from surgery, and he's going to be out for 6 months minimum. You know, maybe you could have a little bit with Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis again. You know, because Dexter Lumis, you know, you look at the WWE roster. What are they going to do? They're going to bring indie guys in for Dexter Lumis to squash? They don't have a lot of, I hate to use the term, but they don't have a lot of jobbers that Dexter Lumis could beat to build some momentum. You know, does he feud with Theory in the near future? Possibly, but, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Doesn't feel like WWE is putting Theory on another losing streak anytime soon. Speaking of Theory, tonight on Raw, Seth Rollins interrupted Theory cutting a promo in the ring. You know, it's some people are starting to get a little annoyed with it, but you have to let it play out a little bit more. Get used to Theory every time he comes out there. Who's the kid now? I am the now. I am the face of Monday Night Raw. Everybody is jealous. So Seth Rollins interrupts Austin Theory's promo. And this was Seth Rollins' attire tonight. Yeah, you do a Google image search, you will see a lot of people in the past wearing lace like this. You know, some people in wrestling, Oksana, Fandango. We've had a few over the years, male and female. You know, you Britney Spears, you could come up with 50 of them. Yes, this is a look, everyone. You know, but Seth Rollins comes out, and we get a stare down between the two. Seth Rollins, you know, wants to fight Austin Theory again, and he tries to get under his skin. Congratulations, kid. Do not call Austin Theory a kid right now. You'll piss him the fuck off. And Austin Theory will fight Seth Rollins again, but on his time. So they very well could end up having a match at the Royal Rumble. You know, so we're going to see, you know, some of these matches culminate at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, look, a lot of people think, you know, if Cody Rhodes doesn't win the Royal Rumble, that Seth Rollins might be one of the favorites as well. If he gets a match against Austin Theory, would Seth Rollins even appear in the Royal Rumble? It's not always guaranteed. You know, in the past, we've had wrestlers get title matches at the Royal Rumble, and then also appear in the Rumble match themselves, but not always. So, you know, getting a title match is cool and everything, but if that eliminates their appearance in a high-profile match, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Candice LeRae tonight made her return as well in a winning effort against Dakota Kai. It was a fun match. Crowd was kind of mixed tonight. You know, they had their moments where they were really energized, lively, but there were times where they were pretty dead. you know, but they ended up getting a little bit into this match towards the end. Little tidbit you may not have seen, but when I picked it up right away, when Candice LeRae came out for her match, look, for those on video, look on the left middle side of your screen, Nikki Cross lurking in the back. Now, it's funny because if you look at this picture, it looks like she is sticking out of a file cabinet, which is obviously not, she's small, but she ain't that small. But Nikki Cross versus Candice LeRae could be a match feud coming up soon. So that match I enjoyed. It was really good. Couple other matches from tonight. Let's talk about the opening match tonight. We had, let me pull it up. We had Mia Yim versus, we'll talk about Becky Lynch and the fighting and everything, because I want to save that to discuss what's next for Becky Lynch. Because I think a lot of people, you know, are we going to see a Becky Lynch Bayley feud? I hope so. I hope so. Battle of the Four Horsewomen, you know, for me, it never gets old as long as it's done in, you know, in spurts. In fact, you know what? Since we're talking about them and they opened up Raw tonight, I loved the first hour commercial free. For those that didn't see Raw tonight, the first hour was commercial free. You know, I don't know if maybe just a lot of people didn't buy airtime this week and they just decided last minute, hey, give the first hour commercial free, because this was not advertised until today. But the first hour was commercial free. Becky Lynch opens up the show and, you know, she's happy to see everybody. She's so happy to see everyone that she's going to go into the crowd and she runs into Bobby. Bobby! What is he wearing, an X-Men sweatshirt? Bobby! And, you know, the fans are chanting for, look, that's a cool moment for that guy. You know, he's good. He's like, let me get the video for my phone. I got to record this as a selfie. And Becky is cutting a promo. She's happy to be back. She's interrupted by Bayley. And they have a little bit of a fun back and forth. You know, Bobby, you suck. No, Bobby doesn't suck. We don't know what Bobby, if he sucks or if he blows. But Becky has a little bit of an interaction with Bayley. You know, a little kind of too much prepared one-liners, because Becky is like, how's about I go down to that ring and kick your ass right now? And Bayley is like, I'll fight you, but you look where you are. Yeah, and I was saying to myself, no, she just said she was going to come down to the ring and kick your ass. You know, if you go back and you watch it, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I think some lines fed, maybe not, you know, executed all that great. But we get a little bit of a Shield-like entrance for Io Sky and Dakota Kai. I mean, not with music, and they're not walking down methodically, but they are going down the aisleway where the fans are, and they bum rush Becky Lynch. Bayley hops the guardrail and she joins in on the beatdown. And, you know, Bianca, think about this. You know, I look back, and I'm sure a lot of you out there didn't think about this maybe until now, because this happened so close to the end of Raw tonight. But it would have been better tonight to not see Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss. And I'll tell you why. Because now think about the opening of Raw tonight, where Io Sky, Dakota Kai, and Bayley are all 3-on-1 beating down Becky Lynch. They end up going into the concession area. You know, this was good because they only have one camera on it. We didn't have all that, you know, those flashing of different camera angles. And they destroy the concession stand. At one point, you know, Becky Lynch and Bayley, they're looking for their contacts. They lost their contact lenses and they're on the floor. I can't see. Do you see my contact? No, I'm just being a, you know, that's an epic fail at me trying to be funny right now. But I saw this clip right here where they were on their knees and I like, did they lose their contacts or something? But they had an awesome brawl in the concession stand and security ends up breaking it up. But what I kept thinking to myself was, okay, you know, nobody from Becky's team comes to her aid, because this didn't last for 30 seconds. This lasted for about 5 to 7 minutes. And we didn't see Bianca, Alexa, Asuka the whole night. So if they didn't appear, I would have been like, all right, they weren't there. But they're in a backstage interview, and they're like, oh, you know, you're hurting from Survivor Series. And Bianca's got like an elbow pad on. Alexa Bliss has got a little black tape around her wrist. Asuka, I didn't see anything. But they're complaining, ooh, my wrist, my arm, my neck, my chest, my... We're not going to go there tonight. But they got little tiny little boo-boos. And they're doing an interview in the back. And they could not come to the aid of Becky Lynch, who answered their call, showed up at Survivor Series, helped the team to victory. And the entire night, they're in the back. That's, I thought that was, you know, look, that's me being a stickler to detail. That's a little more the retro complaining that I used to do. But think about it. Why didn't they come to the aid of Becky Lynch? I'd be a little pissed off if I was Becky Lynch. You know, you get little boo-boos on their wrist, their neck, their back, their pussy, and their crack. Had to do it, everyone. So, you know, didn't lead to any match tonight regarding the participants, other than Mia Yim and Rhea Ripley, and obviously Dakota Kai and Candice LeRae, as we said earlier. But Mia Yim and Rhea Ripley, decent match, kind of clusterfuck, to say the least, because Dominic Mysterio gets involved in the match. He hits the ring, and the referee, like, I complain about it when I see it in AEW. I'm going to complain about it when I see it in WWE. You know, no ejection. He's in the ring, and the referee's like, get out of here. And Dominic is not leaving the ring. You know, no threatening of disqualification or anything, or get the fuck out of this ring. You know, you're out of here. No, Dominic is doing his antics, and the referee is doing virtually nothing. And then AJ Styles runs down the rampway. You go back and you look at it closely. AJ Styles didn't even hit the ring yet, and the referee calls for the bell. No contest. Nothing else happened. AJ, he could have ran around the other side of the ring and pulled Dominic out. AJ could have, you know, maybe had to run to the bathroom. Maybe, you know, I mean, he didn't even hit the ring yet, and the referee already called it a no contest, which was kind of goofy. But what ends up happening is the remaining members of Judgment Day and the OC, they come out, they start brawling a little bit. Judgment Day is now retreating to the back. OC is in the ring, and AJ Styles is like, I thought this was over at Survivor Series. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, I thought this was over too. It should have been over at Crown Jewel. And AJ's like, this is going to finish tonight. This is going to end tonight. How's about we have 4-on-4 mixed tag match? Or as Kevin Patrick said, 8-man tag. Let me ask you a question. Kevin Patrick has been play-by-play guy for, what, 2 months now? Is that about right? What do you all think about Kevin Patrick's job so far? I'm not going to lie to you. I like him. He's a likable guy. Everybody in the business that knows him says nothing about wonderful things towards Kevin Patrick. So, you know, but I feel that as a wrestling fan, I think we have the right to say something is just not clicking. Jimmy Smith did 1,000 times better in this role. I'm convinced. I said this a couple of months ago, 2 months ago. I'm going to say it again now for those that may not remember. I think some of the shifts with the announce team was done specifically because of Pat McAfee having to step away for a few months. My honest opinion, from the first week he was there doing play-by-play, especially where it kind of was confusing, like, why are you wasting Byron Saxton? Byron Saxton was good. Why wouldn't you use Byron Saxton as the third person? I think Kevin Patrick was put in there temporary all along. Do I think Pat McAfee is going to return and take his spot? No. I think when everything is said and done, I think Wade Barrett goes back to NXT. I think Booker T doing play-by-play in NXT is just temporary, just for a couple of months. I don't see Booker T being the permanent NXT play-by-play or commentator, you know, color guy. I think when Pat McAfee is ready to return, Pat McAfee goes back to SmackDown, Wade Barrett goes back to NXT, Booker T goes back to his podcast and does other things for WWE. Hell, maybe he could become the commissioner for NXT for a little while. Yeah, I know Shawn Michaels is the head guy and everything, but you know, maybe putting Booker T in that authority position, because I loved his work in the contract signing with Carmelo Hayes and Wes Lee. So maybe you do that. And then I think Kevin Patrick goes back to backstage announcing, and then you get your original commentary team. Obviously no Jimmy Smith. You know, that's the only factor there. There's no Jimmy Smith. I think it goes back to Byron Saxton and Corey Graves. That's how I look. I think Byron Saxton and Corey Graves would be a decent, and if you want to keep Kevin Patrick as a third guy, absolutely. But honestly, if you listen closely, he makes way too many mistakes. You know, I heard a couple at Survivor Series. I don't remember any of them offhand, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, be nitpicking about him. But, you know, he's getting a little more energized. This is not working for me. It has nothing to do with his accent, but he's not doing it for me, to be honest with you. But, you know, Mia Yim and Rhea Ripley had a fun match while it lasted. Mia Yim has her NXT music back, which is great. Her theme, we all loved it when she was in NXT. But we end up having a 4-on-4 mixed tag match. And in the end, it was once again Judgment Day prevailing over the OC. And we did have Mia Yim get into it with the guys a little bit, as did Rhea Ripley with the OC. Mia Yim body slamming Finn Balor. You know, maybe a couple of seconds too long. You know, like, Finn, yeah. And it was just like a little too long. Hey, Finn, turn around. He eats a body slam from Mia Yim. And then we get distractions. Dominic distracts Mia Yim. That allows Rhea Ripley to hit a riptide on Mia Yim. So Rhea Ripley gets the win for her team. Their match at Survivor Series, AJ and Finn Balor, was spectacular. 20 minutes of top shelf wrestling. But that match at Survivor Series felt like a longer Raw match. This storyline went way too long. And we had that conversation last night about a lot of storylines, a lot of feuds, maybe overstaying their welcome. Look at The Miz and Dexter Lumis. That should have ended 3 weeks ago. But although their match tonight, the 4-on-4, was great, I'm glad this feud is over. I do not want to see the Judgment Day and the OC going at it anymore, anytime soon. So I'm glad that's over. Now, what's next for Rhea Ripley? I think she may win the Royal Rumble, because you would think, common sense, Rhea Ripley should be going after Bianca Belair for that women's championship. Maybe Rhea Ripley goes after Becky Lynch. You know, Becky Lynch could go after Bayley. You know, something is got to be substantial for Rhea Ripley, because she's on fire right now. I think we all agree on that. So there's a couple of different ways they can go with this. Now, let's talk about the Usos, Solo Sikoa, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Because they all appeared tonight on Raw, and we did have a main event match involving two of those participants. Now, the Usos show up with Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn. Everybody seems to be happy, with the exception of Solo Sikoa, obviously. Solo Sikoa always being stoic. They hit the ring, and I think the crowd was chanting, "We want hugs, we want hugs, we want hugs." And Jey Uso with a couple of opening lines. Jimmy Uso says, "Sammy is not KO's dog, he's our dog." And the fans are chanting for Sammy. Sammy gets on the mic. He thanks Jimmy Uso for being by his side truly since day one. He thanks Jey Uso for accepting him the way he did at Survivor Series. Sammy says that was Usy. So Sammy puts a handshake out for Jey Uso. You know, milking, you know, another hug. The fans want hugs, as we talked about the other day. We talked about it Sunday night. And yeah, I'll bring it up once again. You know, you look at social media and you have crying emojis. Oh, the hug. It's amazing. Epic. You know, I'm in tears right now. And we had fun with one particular Twitter account. If you didn't see this Sunday night, Wrestle Ops, the night of Survivor Series, right after the Bloodline won. I don't know who the guy is that's on it, that does their Twitter, but he goes on Twitter and he writes, "The Bloodline wins War Games." That came a little abrupt, and it did get 860 likes in the first 5-10 minutes, but there was a lot of complaining. What do you mean abrupt? Everything was epic. It was amazing. It was awesome. What are you talking about? So whoever it was deletes their tweet. And yes, we will get into Ronda Rousey's deleted tweet in a few moments as well. So this tweet gets deleted, and suddenly an abrupt ending turned into this. "One of the best and most beautiful moments of the entire year of 2022 in pro wrestling. Sami Zayn and Jey Uso finally embrace, complete with Red Heart. Oh, it is beautiful, everyone. In tears. Oh, there's the hug. Unbelievable, amazing. I'm crying. Emotion, emotion. Pure joy." And meanwhile, you know, look, 22,000 likes within 2 hours. Now it's up to 50,000 likes. Hey, that's the tweet that got us a little bit of notice over the weekend. I will always show respect for people out there that have the balls to say what they feel and not do it just to try to trend and just to try to get thousands of likes. You know, to me, good for you. But that's just, you know, you don't have balls to stand by your comments. But as I'm watching all of this, I can't help but to think about this. This was the photo. This was right when they went off the air. We talked about it yesterday. Hey, the Usos, the Bloodline, they're standing there in victory. Hey, pretty innocent photo as we go off there. Oh, wait a minute. We zoom a little bit closer. Hey, is there something going on there? Look at Roman Reigns. Look at Jey Uso. And look at Sami Zayn. And then you get a little bit closer. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Does that look like they are happy with Sami Zayn? This was after the hug. We get a little, there you go, dead man oosing. Sami Zayn is dead man oosing, and in storyline, he doesn't even know it. Yeah, Jey Uso may be putting on the act right now and giving Sami Zayn all that sense of security, but you know what is really going on with the Bloodline right now. That is how he went off the air, and a lot of people refuse to show that photo. Because, no, we want to have the emojis and how everything went off the air, and it's just beautiful. We've been wanting this for months. Oh, my God, they wouldn't live a week in the mafia or in the hood. Could you imagine somebody fucks with your gang, fucks with your group, fucks with Cosa Nostra, fucks with the mob, and then you turn around like, no, we're good, and everybody's hugging the person, and the person's like, oh, I feel good. All these people on social media, they're a bunch of Fredos. And I don't mean the corn chips. Fredos. The Godfather. Fredos. Hey, I'm going to go fishing. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, everything's good. Hey, you know, I think you're growing some of your hair back. And when they least expect it, Sami Zayn, just think of the movie The Godfather. Sami Zayn's going to be on the boat and Roman Reigns with the paddle. Sorry, evil. Roman Reigns with the paddle. Right in the fucking head. That's it. He's done. He's over with. This hurts. Sami Zayn, dead man oosing. When he lied to Jey Uso, no matter what the reason is, you don't do that. When you show a little bit of empathy for a few moments to Kevin Owens during Survivor Series, you don't do that. And now, when Royal Rumble comes, Sami Zayn is going to pause somewhere, and those things are going to build up. And in the end, now the only question is, do we get kind of like an evolution moment? Now, I'm not saying that Sami Zayn will be on the shoulders of Jey Uso and Roman Reigns goes like this. I don't think they're going to repeat, you know, it'll be recycled, but I think we're getting a moment like that. Just like the Festival of Friendship that a few of you brought up the last 24 hours. You know, we knew that Kevin Owens was going to turn on Chris Jericho. We didn't want it to happen because we loved it. I'm watching people the last 24 hours and they're talking about, oh, because Sammy got so over. Now they're bringing this all the way to WrestleMania. And that wasn't the original plans. Says who? Who the fuck do you know in WWE Creative that said, oh, no, we were going to finish this by Survivor Series? You know, no, this is people that didn't expect. You're just like, they didn't expect Austin Theory to be. Oh, no, he was being jobbed out. He was being buried. So these people don't see it coming. People are like, that emoji? This is how everybody feels this weekend. But meanwhile, something totally different is happening. So just like with the Festival of Friendship, we didn't want that team to end, but the storyline dictated it. See, this is the thing people need to understand, especially in the world of WWE. Somebody like Daniel Bryan is a good example. Somebody like Daniel Bryan, it wasn't in the original plans for him to win the championship at WrestleMania and have the run that he did. And obviously the Yes Movement made WWE change their game, change their whole direction, and the rest is history. But when they do storylines, understand that especially long-term storylines, they want it to get unbelievably over. They want the WWE Universe to fall in love with Sami Zayn. They want that friendship with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to make people feel brokenhearted. Oh, Sami, he stabbed his best friend in the back. Tonight on Raw, you got them cutting a promo in the ring, and Kevin Owens is looking at Sami Zayn, and he's like, Sami, I'm truly happy for you, because now the WWE Universe gets to see, you know, how great Sami Zayn is. But after 20 years, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to team with you. I don't want to ride with you. I am done. And Sami responds, and he says, I feel the same way. I don't need you anymore, Kevin. I now have family. And the crowd, little smattering of cheers, you know, for Sami Zayn. But everybody on social media, oh, you know, broken hearts. Oh, 20-year friendship comes to, it's a fucking storyline. Of course we don't want it to end because we're entertained to the max. But when WWE creates these storylines, especially something like this to culminate at WrestleMania, their intention is for it to be a story that everybody's talking about. Their intention is to get Sami Zayn over as much as possible with the fans. That's why seeds are planted. That's why people forget. 3 months ago, Kevin Owens was trying to get a little through to Sami Zayn. And then WWE backed off from it. So, you know, fans enjoying the storyline understand, you know, they're into it. WWE did their job. But to turn around and try to say, oh, no, the fans' reaction is what changed the direction of the storyline and made it go to WrestleMania. These are people that may not have been part of the Yes Movement that think they're part of the Us Movement. That, yeah, we, our voices, we yelled and spoke out and everything on social media, and we forced WWE to keep this going for another 6 extra months. WWE doing their job pretty damn good. You know, some people obviously using it just to get hits and click. I mean, let's be honest, everyone. These people that claim to be in the know and smart, you know, but are writing some of the things they did, you know, they're doing that because they know that there's 50,000 fans out there who are not as smart to what they're watching. And, you know, oh, they see, oh, I feel the same way. Oh, why do you think that tweet was deleted and replaced with something that was a complete 180. Because it's not about how they truly felt. It's about where, what can I write to click the most with people on social media? And WWE's capitalizing on it. And I love this storyline. I absolutely love it. So Kevin Owens tonight, he says, you know, that he's done with Sami Zayn. So Jey Uso gets on the mic and he says, anybody has a problem with Sami Zayn has a problem with Main Event Uso. Main Event Uso. Kevin Owens says, I said I was done with Sami Zayn. I didn't say I was done with you. So we get a main event tonight of Kevin Owens versus Jey Uso. And I got to be honest with you, I was very, very confused at the outcome. No, Kevin Owens getting the victory, I'm fine with. Kevin Owens hit a stunner on Jey Uso. And the theme of this match is no matter what Jey Uso dished out to Kevin Owens would not be pinned. Super kicked a few times, would not be pinned. Jey Uso hitting him with everything in the kitchen sink. Kevin Owens would not stay down. And meanwhile, understand you got Sami Zayn at ringside, Jimmy Uso at ringside, and Solo Sikoa at ringside, and they're all frustrated. And meanwhile, there's no interference with any of those guys. There's no, you know, nothing. When Kevin Owens hit the stunner, you know, if you think about past episodes or, you know, anything we've seen on TV, that would be the moment where all the members of the Bloodline, minus Roman Reigns, who is not there, are going to hit the ring and all attack Kevin Owens or something. But they stood at ringside and watched Kevin Owens hit a stunner and pin Jey Uso. That was a little baffling for me. Thought it was a little bit baffling. Oh, Gruss says I should trademark the Uso movement. You know, I'm sure somebody has said that. We had the Yes movement, now we have the Uso movement. So, hey, I'm going to start doing clips. Maybe we'll do a clip about the Uso movement. But listen, fun main event. You know, Kevin Owens victorious. And this leads to a little bit of frustration after the match, you know, at Kevin Owens. But all three guys, you know, just standing there watching the finish was a little confusing. And because they were already at the 11 o'clock hour, it went right off the air. I mean, it went immediately off the air. So that pretty much was your episode of Raw tonight. I enjoyed it. And again, like I said, you know, we didn't have any bad or ugly tonight. Now, next week, we're going to have the Usos defending the championships against Matt Riddle and Elias. Earlier tonight, Matt Riddle and Elias cutting a promo in the back and a little seed planted. You know, Elias saying, you know, look, I'm more of a solo guy. But he's fine with a little Matt Riddle right now, and the Usos show up, and they're mocking the Elias a little bit. Elias making a remark saying he never had WWE gold. I could swear he had the 24/7 title. I know that doesn't mean much, but it is still a WWE-sanctioned belt at the time. But Elias issues the challenge, and the Usos accept. So next week, they're going to get a title match. I mean, we know what the outcome is going to be. I don't think Elias would turn on Matt Riddle this quickly. It would make almost no sense, especially if the Royal Rumble is so freaking far away. They'll probably have a couple of more matches, and then we'll see what happens at the Royal Rumble. But it was a fun episode of Raw tonight. Honestly, that first hour really made it, you know, smooth and entertaining, and you know, had a nice flow. You know, and I'm glad the OC and the Judgment Day, that feud is over with. Main event tonight, we had Zoe Stark over Dana Brooke, Cedric Alexander over Joe Gacy. And for those that are going to ask, the schism were not there. Now, a couple of things regarding NXT and Dynamite. First of all, tomorrow in NXT, we're going to find out who the competitors are going to be in the Iron Survivor Challenge. But we are going to have a couple of Hall of Famers tomorrow, which is going to be pretty cool. We are going to have Alondra Blaze, who you also know as Medusa. We're also going to have Molly Holly appearing. That's not all. We're also going to get the Road Dogg, who is going to appear. And we're getting X-Pac. So four WWE Hall of Famers, not including Shawn Michaels. We will find out tomorrow who the competitors for the Iron Survivor Challenge at Deadline will be. Hopefully one of those members is not Scripps. Yeah, we didn't do a Wednesday Night Dynamite last week, and I will save my thoughts on scripts for Wednesday because I want to definitely pull some of his original quotes threatening to destroy NXT. Yeah, you're going to destroy NXT. Yeah, you're going to do flips, flippy, flippy. That's how I'm going to destroy NXT. You know, we'll talk about that Wednesday. All right, Dynamite this Wednesday. This is what we have to look forward to. We have match three in the best of seven, the Death Triangle versus the Elite. Obviously, the Elite, you know, it's going to be funny. If the Death Triangle wins again and they're up 3-0, I wonder how fans are going to feel that the next four matches are going to be won by the Elite. Just think about that. Let that settle in. So, you know, would they really put themselves over that much where they go down 3-0? Almost like the Red Sox versus the Yankees, you know, from about, what, 17 years ago, whatever it was. Remember that when the Red Sox were down 3-0? Didn't they lose like 19-8? And people are like, oh, they're fucked. That's it. You know, but them third matches could happen. Willow Nightingale versus Anna Jay. Bryan Danielson versus Dax Hardwood. Jade Cargill's going to have another TBS championship celebration. And MJF is going to talk. Now, a little ratings. SmackDown delayed. Rampage delayed. But we do have AEW's rating from last Wednesday. The week before last, they did 818,000 viewers. This past Wednesday, they did, let me pull it up. Hang on 1 second. There you go. There you go. What did they do, like 880? So a little bit of an increase, similar to what they did last year. I think last year they might have done 885 or 890. So, listen, NXT last year, rating was almost the same. SmackDown last year, rating was almost the same Thanksgiving week. So, you know, Thanksgiving, obviously, things are going to be a little bit different. But very interesting, once again, to look at those quarter hours. You know, that opening quarter, we've talked about this for months now, that AEW puts Ring of Honor in quarter one, put some of their bigger names on quarter one because they know they're going to get a bump from the Big Bang Theory. There's at least 100 or 200,000 viewers that still have TBS on the channel when AEW starts after the Big Bang Theory is over, and they hope that the names that they see are recognizable enough that maybe some of those Big Bang Theory viewers will keep the TV on TBS and not change it to something else. But as you see, once the 15 minutes really kicks in, you never see that audience stay. There's always 100,000-plus viewer drop. And sure enough, when they get to quarter two, they go from 1,019,000 down to 893 for Orange Cassidy versus Jake Hager. You have Ethan Page versus Ricky Starks, drops down a little bit more to 866. We get the Wardlow video, the Jade Cargill baddies promo, and we get the entrances for the trios. That's very interesting, everyone, because that stood even at 867. The Death Triangle versus the Elite stood even. It went down 3,000 viewers, but they did not get any bump for that match. And remember, this was in Chicago. So I honestly thought, wow, I think maybe some people might be tuning in a little bit more just to see how the crowd treats the Elite since they're going to be in Chicago. After that match is over, we get the segment with Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, and then we get Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter versus Sky Blue and Widow Nightingale. Unfortunately, that rating drops all the way down to 813. It recovers a little bit in the next to last quarter, 840,000. That was the three-way tag match. You know, Anna Jay and Ty Mello versus Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. And then the Acclaimed promo. And then Chris Jericho versus Tomohiro Ishii closes out Dynamite with 880. You know, so they had a little bit of a bump. But, you know, there is your trend. And, you know, we'll see what happens this week. No holiday week. No natural disasters. No elections. No playoffs. So we'll see what the rating is this week. There'll be an NXT watch party for those that are interested tomorrow. We'll have some fun with that. Now we're at exactly 1 hour, so I definitely want to start bringing this home, and we'll talk a little bit about Ronda Rousey. And as I said earlier, tonight's episode of the Don Tony Show, your post-Raw recap review, is brought to you by Manscaped. Holiday season, everyone. Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. It, and this is my phrase, it's the total package for your package. If you go to their website right now and you could take advantage of that Black Friday sale, not only will you get their 25% off, but you put the promo code in for Don Tony, you get 20% off and free shipping. So you get a little bit of an extra discount there. The Performance Package 4.0, you get the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. That is a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Interpretation, if your private parts down there look like Don King, you know, the idea of the lawnmower is to trim it down. You know, you don't want to go rave. Think Raven Impact Wrestling. You know, or think Ortiz, AEW. You know, you got to kind of like trim it down first, get it nice and neat. So you get the Lawnmower 4.0. You get the weed whacker for people out there that have disgusting hair growing out of their nose, their ears, their neck, their back. They're pushing on their crack. You get the nose and ear hair trimmer. You get the crop preserver, which is legitimately a deodorant for your private parts down there. You get the toner spray. You also, don't forget, Manscaped has shower products, body wash. They have cologne, deodorant. Now they have a body buffer, which apparently is safe for your private parts. Why would I use a body buffer on my balls? But I know their plugs are a little bit explicit, but if you watch the Manscaped commercial, who's that actor? Isn't he going out with some model now? I didn't even know he did a Manscaped commercial, and it's supposed to look like that Santa Claus used his shaver and, you know, trimmed his, you know, pubic hairs, and he drops it on the floor. He's like, ah! Anybody see that commercial yet? What's that actor's name? Isn't it like something Davidson? I never watched this shit. What is it, from Saturday Night Live? But go to manscaped.com. Promo code DONTONY, 20% off free shipping. Can't go wrong. It's the holidays, everyone. Buy me. You can buy me some stuff. All right, Ronda Rousey. A lot of controversy this weekend because of what happened at Survivor Series. We got into the match in detail yesterday. I don't want to reiterate the same thing again. Pete Davidson. Thank you, Genesis. Pete Davidson. That's who it is. Gordon Post. He also mentioned it. Check it out. You know, Ronda Rousey, the problem that we saw a mile away, and not because you and I are smart, a lot of people saw it a mile away. Ronda Rousey's not a ring general. She cannot call a match. She doesn't have that experience. And unfortunately, she does work some house shows, but it's going to take a lot more than that. You know, people complaining about her being a women's champion. As we said yesterday, the SmackDown women's division is about to have a major upgrade. It's happening. Especially that Becky Lynch. Because remember, people were saying on Friday that Becky Lynch is now SmackDown. No. She's Raw again. So Charlotte Flair, you can almost guarantee she's going to be on SmackDown. But the thing is this, Ronda Rousey's not a ring general to dictate and call a match. Shotzi Blackheart still has a way to go. She has improved tremendously the last 2 years, but Shotzi Blackheart is not a big ring general herself. And especially with Ronda Rousey, you need someone who is more of a veteran that can, you know, walk her through things. I mean, you know, It's just a fact. And the match that we saw on Survivor Series was simple. Shotzi was trying to do what she would do in a match against Dakota Kai or Io Shirai or Candice LeRae or Raquel Gonzalez. She's doing it against Ronda Rousey, which Ronda Rousey is not used to taking some of these spots. And, you know, you get a little bit nervous and you don't take it the right way and it looks like a hot mess. You know, and look, that's just being straight up honest. I'm not trying to be controversial, but it doesn't help when Ronda Rousey tweets and deletes, especially when it comes to Sasha Banks. Now, during the Survivor Series match, there were loud chants for Sasha Banks. Listen, they were in Boston. Sasha Banks, home turf. Of course, the fans wanted Sasha Banks to appear. Of course, a lot of fans thought Sasha Banks was going to appear at Survivor Series. It's not happening. Didn't happen. And the fans visibly upset. But what a lot of people need to remember is that there is legit bad blood between Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks. Now, as far as the chance at Survivor Series, Ronda Rousey posted this. Oh, not that one. Okay, this one. There you go. Quote, keep chanting her name all you want in my matches. It won't change the fact that I'm still here. And she ran away. She deleted that tweet not too long after. It did get about 1,500 likes before it got deleted. But Ronda Rousey, you know, this is not just Ronda Rousey playing a heel right now. This is Ronda Rousey who is still pissed off, maybe not pissed off, but ticked off and angry about what happened earlier this year. What a lot of people seem to forget is what led to Sasha Banks and Naomi handing in the tag championships and walking out. Does anybody remember what was supposed to go down at that time? They were going to do a six-pack challenge, and Naomi and Sasha were going to be in that match. And what was supposed to happen is Naomi was going to pin Sasha, and Naomi was going to go after Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship, and Sasha Banks was going to go after Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And Sasha Banks and Naomi were upset that the women's tag team championships were not only not being defended, but they were being asked to split up and put over the women's champions. Now, obviously, there was no angst against Bianca Belair. So, believe me, did you hear that? That's just my alarm on my phone. It's almost time to go, everyone. But there was no angst against Bianca Belair. Naomi had no issues taking on Bianca Belair if needed. But there was more of a deeper issue. Plus, there were, as remember the phrase, promises made, promises not kept. That was a lot with Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis, and especially the attitude that Johnny Ace gave the two women about being upset at some of this stuff. It's almost like, hey, suck it up. This is entertainment. Sometimes things don't end up the way that it originally is planned. And they're like, fuck you, we're out of here. I mean, it didn't go down exactly like that, but that's pretty much the gist of it. Ronda Rousey was left pretty fucking annoyed that Sasha Banks absolutely did not want to put over Ronda Rousey, and they wanted to... It was more about the tag titles than anything else. But, you know, the thing is, you know, Ronda Rousey, again, I'm not trying to defend her and I'm not trying to bash her, but as you see, there is a deeper dislike there and there is tension between Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks. And that's why, honestly, you know, just because you have that tension doesn't mean you always turn it into a storyline. Think CM Punk and the Elite and some of the dopey shit that's being posted around the newswire and the net and podcast the last week. The idea that that real major backstage problem that turning into a storyline makes it epic, amazing, unbelievable, you know, that doesn't fix the problem. So Sasha Banks returning, you don't throw her in a match with Ronda Rousey unless they clear things up and unless, you know, and that's much different than CM Punk and the Elite anyway. Because this is more about Vince McMahon and WWE Creative not actually delivering on a lot of promises that they gave to Sasha and Naomi. You know, one of the reasons why Sasha was even back. So understand that there is a deeper issue there with Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks. That does go back to the early part of 2022, April, May of 2022. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, the tweet and delete, you know, me personally, I don't know if WWE contacted Ronda and say, take that down, you know, I mean, or maybe she just realized after, like, you know, it's not worth it. But, you know, that tweet shows you, you know, those chants. And let me tell you something. Probably Ronda's tweet was bad, but her deleting it makes it worse. Because if the IWC picks up on it, and they're not happy with Ronda Rousey right now, they're going to troll her. And they're going to troll her hard. So when Ronda Rousey shows up again somewhere, house show, wherever, you're going to get a group of fans out there. They're going to start a Sasha Banks chant. And it'll probably get deeper and deeper and deeper. And Ronda Rousey, obviously, with that dislike for Sasha for what went down early this year, it's going to piss her off even more. And the fans are going to think, hey, we're doing our job. You know, we're getting under Ronda's skin. That's for being such a shitty women's champion. So the fans, listen, doing this hashtag fire Ronda Rousey, you think anybody in WWE is going to say, oh, okay, you know, the WWE Universe has spoken. She's fired. No, there's a lot of value in Sasha Banks. She's a marquee name, you know, and they're not going to oblige. But, you know, that hashtag is out there, and they're going to feel like, hey, if we can't get through WWE, we're going to take it out on Ronda Rousey. So expect it to get louder and get bigger. So, all right, everyone, before I jet out of here, I got two super chats that I'd like to shout out. I want to thank them for their generosity. Sticky Fingers Frank with the 10 spot, besides the seeds planted in their promos and face expressions. What do I think happens that takes the bloodline turn against Sammy? Besides seeds planted in the facial, I think something happens at the Royal Rumble. Now, if you look at the title for tonight's episode, I have in there Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. That is not just sausage. No one else is reporting it. Everybody's talking about the tag title match at WrestleMania. But what something that WWE is contemplating right now is Roman Reigns instructing Sami Zayn to take out Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns may happen at the Royal Rumble. Not saying it's definite, but it may happen. And Roman Reigns is going to instruct Sami Zayn to take out Kevin Owens beforehand. So do not be surprised we get Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens in a match. And it's more at the direction of Roman Reigns than anything else. And that may show a little bit of empathy towards Sami Zayn. Regardless of what you saw in a promo exchange tonight, deep, deep, deep inside, there's that love for each other. And that's the storyline. So Royal Rumble, something could go down. Hell, all the guys could be in the Royal Rumble match. And look, the winner of the Royal Rumble takes on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So nobody in the bloodline is going to want to face Roman Reigns. And what happens if Sami Zayn causes, you know, Solo Sikoa to get eliminated? Or maybe Sammy fucks up and, you know, he eliminates someone. Sammy's not winning the Royal Rumble. I know some people are trying to say, oh, it's going to be Sammy versus Roman at WrestleMania. Yeah, people are trying to come up with unique matches, you know, rolling the dice that if it happens, oh my God, see, I was right. I have sources. It's not happening. So I think something goes down at the Royal Rumble. And as you saw tonight, they're already starting the push to the Royal Rumble. So when you see that kind of coin coming in for the Royal Rumble and we don't have any matches announced yet, yeah, they're going to do something big at that time. So I say, yeah, at the Royal Rumble. But if we see Kevin Owens versus Sammy, especially on an episode of SmackDown in the near future, yeah, that I think something will twist there too. And before we close it out, Lascelles Williams, thank you for the 5 spot, my friend. USA Network just showed a commercial for the Teddy Hart documentary. Did I watch it? And if not, am I going to? I have not watched it yet. I was on vacation watching Teddy Hart on Peacock or whatever it is. Was not on my priority list. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Because understand, think Vice, think Dark Side of the Ring, think over-exaggerated, oh, this makes great fucking TV. You know, imagine the people producing that. And, you know, Teddy Hart saying, I give a fuck about Samantha Riddler, whatever her name is. Those people were giddy. Like, oh, that's great TV. Oh, that's going to make him look like total whack job. You know, to me, my impression of it is, it's Dark Side of the Ring in the form of a wrestler documentary. So honestly, I don't know if I really want to see it. You know, I mean, I've had my issues with Teddy Hart over the years. It still blows me away that I got under his skin that much in that Sports Illustrated interview. You know, when people told me that time, like, hey, you better watch out. And then when I go to a Yonkers indie wrestling event that we talked about last week, and people are telling me, you know, wrestlers at the event, hey, De Blasio, you know, Teddy Hart's here, and he finds out you might want to leave. Yeah, it kind of like gets you a little nervous a little bit. I mean, was he going to do a 450 splash on me? No, but, you know, I'm not, you know, that, you know, in great shape. Probably would have got my ass kicked. You know, things have calmed down since then, and, you know, I've kind of like buried things a couple of years ago with him. But this documentary doesn't surprise me. To me, it's, you know, to use the Vince voice for a minute, it's such good shit. That's how it feels. Feels like I'm watching the commercials. It feels like I'm watching a documentary version, individual wrestler, Dark Side of the Ring. Hey, we can't do Dark Side of the Ring, so let's find controversial people that are willing to go over the top and get a little bit overdramatic for TV. That's how it comes across to me. Think about the Samantha Riddle stuff. You know, you think about investigators, because that's still an open case. You know, it's a cold case, but it's an open case. You think this motherfucker is going to say some of that stuff and investigators are watching with their eyes wide open? And that's a dramatic shit for TV. I don't know if I want to see it, so. All right, everyone. It's been real. We went a little over an hour. That's all right. We went about 80 minutes. You know, I don't want to be on an exact schedule, but you see now, you know, we want to keep these shows, you know, between an hour and 75, 80 minutes at most. You know, I want everyone to feel refreshed, you know, when you tune into the stuff. I don't want people to feel like, oh my God, he's got 8 hours of programming a week. I can't watch all of it. I definitely, as time goes by, not trying to get lazy, not trying to shortchange anyone, but we definitely want to keep the and honestly, we keep the conversations really tight. People seem to really love the flow even more. So I'm going to jet out of here for now. And if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that thumbs up. If you did not check out yesterday's double show, which was the sit-down and Survivor Series review, the first hour of Survivor Series. And we talked a lot more than just Survivor Series. We talked about what's next for quite a few wrestlers. And some of what we talked about seems to be in motion a little bit. So definitely check that out. And if you haven't checked out the State of the Channel yet, go check out. It's about a 20-25 minute video. Just discusses some subtle changes I'm going to be making over the next 3-4 months. And we'll revisit it around the springtime of 2023. And yeah, something that a lot of people are talking about. I don't have the graphic here. I'm sorry, but oh, wait, do I have it? No, I don't. Podcast Forbidden Door 4. I appreciate everybody's ideas so far. In about 2 weeks, we will put up a poll, and you all will vote on it, and the majority vote getter will be contacted by me. Hey, would you like to come on for some casual conversation for Podcast Forbidden Door 4? And, you know, I will take the most popular choices and the realistic choices. I mean, some people trying to be a little bit of a wise ass with some of their selections. It's all right. I have a good sense of humor as well. And there's some names that ain't no fucking way they're coming on. You know, in a perfect world, you don't think I would love to have Jim Cornette on? He ain't coming on. Ain't no way he would come on. But there are quite a few names there that I think would come on, and you'll all vote on it. So, everyone, enjoy the rest of your night. All the best. Enjoy NXT tomorrow. It is going to be a pretty strong show. And then we got Dynamite on Wednesday. So I'll be back here Wednesday night after Dynamite. We'll do a quick review of that show in NXT. I'll finally get to talk about scripts. And believe it or not, I still have the damage cards. You know, just a little quick tidbit before I go. When we had the NXT watch party last week, at the beginning of the show, I looked on my floor because I dropped potato chips. Yeah, I was eating potato chips. And when I looked on the floor, I couldn't find the potato chips. And I'm like, it just disappeared into the air. I still couldn't find it. But I found Reggie cards on the floor. And I'm like, the fuck are these Reggie cards doing here? There was three of them. So I tried to tear up the card, but these cards that WWE made, you can't tear them. You can't tear them. I swear to God, if you go pick up a pack of these, it's a challenge. Try to tear one in half. You can't. So at the beginning of NXT, I'm on camera trying to rip these Reggie cards. I'm like, these motherfuckers, they won't destroy. And then we get scripts an hour later. And I'm like, that's freaky, man. Because at the beginning of the show, we had no idea that Reggie was going to be scripts. And we're destroying Reggie cards at the beginning of the show. And lo and behold, motherfucker Scripps makes his debut. So we'll have some fun Wednesday about Scripps. But I am out of here. Much love, everyone. Thank you, as always, for the support. You know, anything that you do for me on these shows, a plug, a super chat, you know, a follow, a subscription, anything, it really, really helps me tremendously. And I thank you for that. So I will jet out of here, and I hope to see you Wednesday night after AEW. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for it.
I fucked up.
Everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.